I entitled today's sermon, Give What You Owe, because it is about money. But I'm not going to talk so much about money. I think there's more going on in this passage than just that. But as I'm going through the Gospel of Mark, we're at chapter 12, verses 13 through 17. It's the week that Jesus is going to end the week with his resurrection. This is taking place on a Tuesday. Jesus has been challenged by the religious leaders, the Pharisees in particular. And at this point in time, you know, they keep failing to trip Jesus up. And so they get together with another group, the Pharisees do, by the name of Herodians. They were followers, Jewish leaders, but they weren't really a political party. They were just prominent citizens who liked the Romans. And they liked King Herod that Rome had put in charge over Judea. And so they were all for taxation and that type of thing. They supported the Jewish tax collectors. And of course, the Pharisees didn't like them. So these two groups did not get along at all. The Pharisees, for the most part, hated the Romans. But they got together in a last-ditch effort to trip Jesus up. And that's the context of what we have at the moment. It says, they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. They came to him and said, Teacher, we know you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. But you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we? But Jesus knew their hypocrisy. Why are you trying to trap me? He asked. Bring me a denarius and let me look at it. They brought the coin and he asked them, Whose portrait is this and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then Jesus said to them, Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. And they were amazed at him. Well, let me just talk about the money part first. It's not all money. It's not exactly what Jesus is focusing on. They were focusing on trying to trip Jesus up. The Pharisees didn't like paying taxes to Rome, but the Herodians did. They valued the influence that Rome brought into Judea. And that's why they didn't get along. So they were two sides of the coin, and if Jesus answered one way or the other, he would have people mad at him. So what he did was he just amazed them. He said, give to Caesar that which is Caesar's and give to God that which is God's. And when we think about, even here in America, we all pay our taxes. And there are benefits that you can get deductions from our taxes. But we're to be honest. As God's people, we are to pay honestly what we owe. None of us like tolls, going through toll roads. And the way everything's automated nowadays, it's so much easier. You don't even have to think about it. And now with not only debit cards, but you can pay for everything on your phone, spending money is so much easier. But when we get debt, we should pay it. We owe it. You know, everyone's all about, well, let me spend, but I shouldn't have to pay it back. But God is very clear that we're to be honest in our dealings with everyone, whether it's owing the bank, or owing a charge company, or owing a friend, or owing the government. We are obligated before God to pay our share. You know, it is sin to try to get out of paying. Now, if it's something where we need help, that's a different matter. But still, our obligation is to pay our debts. God wants us to be good citizens. That means we need to learn proper money management. You know, to manage our debt, try not to get too far in, and be honest in all of our dealings. Now, these Pharisees didn't want to hear, you know, that it's okay to pay Caesar. But neither did he side with the Herodians. He said, give to Caesar that which is Caesar's. That is, give to man that which we owe to men. But give to God that which we owe to God. And what is it that we owe to God? Is it not our obedience and our heart and our mind? The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now, none of us do that. But we work at it, don't we? We want to love God with all of our mind. So we study, we learn. We get to know God more. To love God with all our mind, our heart. To have that, not just the emotion, but that commitment to God. To love God with all our strength. That is to give of ourselves to the service of God in this world and directly to Him and to one another. With our very depth of our soul, being totally committed to God. That's what we owe God. And as we do that, what does it enable us to do better? That's the second commandment. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, it's easy to say, I love my neighbor. But if I love my neighbor by my standards or love my neighbor by their standard, that may not be the best. But when we love self and we love others by God's standard, then we know that what we're doing is for the best. Because when Scripture talks about love, the little Greek word is not the emotional love. It's not love motivated from the heartbeat or the emotions of the moment. But it's a commitment of wanting what's best for other people, to care enough about self and other people that you want the very best. And only God reveals that which is best, because everything else keeps changing. Emotions change, standards change, rules change that man makes. And so we give to God our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And through that, we love ourselves and those around us as God would have us do. That's the way it works. But what's fascinating about this passage is that people still do this type of thing today. And it's interesting how Jesus' enemies know Him so well. You notice what they said? They came to Him. Of course, they're going to butter Him up a little bit. They said, "We know you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are." So they're kind of admitting right there, you don't pay any attention to us. You don't agree with us on so many things. But we know you're a man of integrity. And you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. See, that's why they could never find any fault with Jesus. Even when He didn't disagree with them, He always agreed with the truth. So they could find no fault in Him. So now that they've got that, now they try to ask the difficult question. And in our world, even those who do not believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior still recognize His integrity. Still recognize that He's at least a good teacher. Still recognize that His way is indeed right. But people don't want to follow. And so what happens, and you and I, I'm sure, have run into it when we're sharing with people or people ask a question, they're always trying to raise questions to trip us up, to confuse us so that we don't give the right answer. And if we give an answer that satisfies them, well then, oh, I'm okay. And if we give an answer that's kind of slipshod, we say, well, how can I believe in that God if you're not sure? And so the challenge for us as Christians is indeed to grow in our knowledge of God and grow in our conviction to walk with God so that when we are sharing with people, we have a conviction about what we're saying and what we're saying is true. Not just opinion. You know, there are things we can have opinions on, but the basics of Scripture are right there. And the basics of the nature and the character of God and what He values is right there in the Word. And we need to know it and be able to say, this is what the Word says. And stand by it. And stand by it. And it's amazing, people know. Rhonda and I were in Walmart the other day. and she was shopping for some tops, and she dragged me along. And this guy happened to walk past us. And he stopped. And he turned around, and he looked at us. And he said, I don't remember if I say this quite right. He said, is it true that If I get drunk a lot and have a lot of sex, you know, immoral sex, that I'll go to hell. And I said, well, that's what Scripture says. It's what God's Word says. So he reworded it slightly. I'm sure I'm getting it out of order. But he just wanted to know, if I carouse and I drink and that type of thing, I'm going to hell. And I said, well, that is what the Bible says. It's what God says. And he turned and went back the direction he came from. So we looked at each other and thought, okay, what was he really looking for? Rhonda thought, well, maybe he's looking for someone to evangelize to. And then I thought, maybe. But he was looking at two old people. Maybe he was just feeling guilty and wanted to know, you know, what somebody else thought. I don't know. He was there and he was gone. But we could have said, well, you know, it just depends on the situation. Well, you know, I think. But no, we always have to stand upon the Word. Now, that was a spur-of-the-moment thing. The whole thing probably lasted, what, 30 seconds? But sometimes we do get opportunity to share with someone. You know, years ago, when I was working part-time there in New Jersey, we were preaching there, we were working part-time, help open a Target store. And I got to know some of the people that were working there. And one young man got arrested and had a trial and was going to prison. And this was sometime after I'd left. I'd only been there 4 months. And I happened to walk by the courthouse, and here he was with his wife sitting out on the step waiting to be called back in to hear his sentence. And he saw me, and he said, Steve, can I talk to you for a minute? I said, sure. And so we talked a little bit, and he admitted his guilt, his fear of going to prison. But it was a chance to talk to him a little bit about the Lord. And so I had a prayer with him, and just as I said amen, they called him in. And then I never saw him again. But we don't know when we'll have those opportunities. But we need to be ready, even if it's just for a few seconds, to say, well, this is what God says. This is the truth. This is the reality. And if you've got yourself in trouble, there's hope. Through Jesus Christ, He can see you through anything and draw you closer to Him and cleanse you and set you free, your spirit. Even if you still have to go to jail, guess what? The Lord can still be with you, and you can grow and mature and have a positive hope in eternity. See, God's enemies always try to prove He isn't right. But all we need to do is just state the facts. This is the truth. This is it. This is it. Jesus is right. God's Word is truth. Absolute. Absolute. Now, how we present it may vary from situation to situation. If someone's angry, if someone's hurting, you know, if someone's just idly curious. But still, the truth is truth, and we share it in love. And that's what we're called to do. Give what you owe. What do we owe? Not just maybe what we put in the offering plate, but what we owe of God, of our personal attention and conviction to Him, and then our compassion to those around us. We've been praying for the people in Florida and Georgia, North Carolina, Tennessee. Some of my family got hit yet again in Florida, lost what little they had left, lost that as well. We've been praying for people's well-being. But as we talked last week, we need to pray for people's relationship with Jesus. Because if they leave this world without knowing Jesus, they face a horrible, horrible future. What we owe is reaching out to the lost, as Jesus did, seeking to save the lost. And they're all around us. And it's easy to get comfortable and just live our lives and not really think about the people around us. But we should. And look for those opportunities to share with someone. Doesn't mean you have to have all the answers. You don't have to know everything. But sometimes, even if it's just one thing you know for sure that applies to what a person is saying or asking, that can open a door for future opportunity. We owe that to our Lord, to have a heart for the lost as He does. Because He has said, I will give you the words, I will work in you and through you, so that my word does not come back to me empty. You know, that's how much God loves everybody. It's not just enough that He loves me. He loves all those around me. And we need to be ready. We're going to sing a song. I'm keeping this short because I want to give the Major Flag an opportunity to share with us. And then we have a number of announcements. But keep in mind, as we sing this song, in Christ alone my hope is found. My hope is in Jesus Christ and only. I can't get to heaven on my own. I can't be a good person on my own. Only with Jesus. And boy, you know, if I can't, then people I know who don't know Jesus can't either. They need Jesus. So let us give what we owe. And that is our full conviction to follow Jesus. And help hold out that hand to save another person. You know, back, I guess it was still the 60s, Neil Diamond had a song called Brother Love's Traveling Salvation Show. Always loved that song. And it was based upon a real live evangelist that he'd gone to a tent meeting when he was younger. And one line, one part of it, he says, you got two good hands that God gave you. You reach out one, as he said, to the man up there. And you reach out the other to your neighbor. That's the way God wants us to work. Connected to Him and reaching out to others. If you're not yet a Christian, well, you need to be. You know, you really, really do. Because only in Him is there forgiveness and only in Him is there hope. And this song is just about that very thing. In Christ alone. Let's stand, shall we, and sing.